This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Let's continue this week's look at an ultra-conservative religious movement that is jostling for power in the Arab world. When an uprising swept aside the longtime ruler of Tunisia, a religious political party soon took power. It promised more freedom for Muslims who'd sometimes been targeted by a secular government. Women, for example, might have veils snatched off their heads in the past. That has changed, but the moderate Islamist government faces pressure from the ultra-conservatives who want more. They're known as Salafis, people who claim to follow the practices of the earliest Muslims 1,400 years ago. Salafis are considered a minority in Tunisia, but what makes them hard to manage is that they have rejected the democratic process. NPR's Leila Fadel continues our series.
At a recent protest outside the Justice Ministry in Tunis, hundreds of Salafis condemned the Islamist-led government as oppressors. The rally was called to demand the release of some 900 Salafis arrested for various acts of violence. Two of those detainees have since died in their cells after long hunger strikes. Unlike their counterparts in Egypt, the Salafis in Tunis reject democracy and insist that only their rigid interpretation of Islamic law can govern Muslims. Almost all Salafis boycotted the first post-revolutionary elections after Tunisia's dictator was ousted. This has put Tunisia's moderate Islamist leaders in a difficult position. To the secular elite, the government is too soft on the Salafis, while the Salafis accuse the government of selling out the purest form of Islam.
They are entitled to their rights as long as they respect the law of the land and they behave as citizens. They don't have the right to impose their lifestyle upon anybody by force.
That's Saeed Farjani, a senior member of the Islamist Ennahda party that leads the government. The problem with the Salafis, he says, is that they don't recognize the state.
We want to push them, to drag them into the sphere of politics because they are citizens.
But the few who turn to violence must be prosecuted, Farjani says.
They are a danger. They are a real danger.
The most radical of Salafis carrying sticks and swords have attacked cultural events and shrines they consider un-Islamic. They ransacked stores selling alcohol and clashed with the police. Salafi militants are also accused of leading last year's fiery attacks on the U.S. Embassy and the American school in Tunis. Secularists like Yassin Brahim accuse the Ennahda-led government of not doing enough to stop the violence because of its sympathies with the Salafis.
These people are out of the loop. If they are arguing for jihad, for violence, it's a big problem. And Ennahda had a lot of hesitations about how to manage this problem.
Brahim is the secretary general of Jumhuriya, an umbrella party of secularist groups. He says his party's goal is to preserve the image of Tunisian society as moderate and cosmopolitan. Critics of the Salafis say they are a threat to the revolutionary ideals of economic prosperity, civil liberties, and gender equality. Tunisia's highest religious figure, the state-appointed Mufti Othman Batikh, goes even further, calling Salafis uncompromising extremists.
They accuse people of being infidels. They don't accept dialogue. Such stiffness is what made people reject them. This is all a result of their ignorance of the reality and the history of Islam.
Egypt's most successful Salafi political party, Nour, has sent emissaries to Tunisia and to Libya to try to coax Salafis into politics. A spokesman for the Egyptian party said that is the only way the Salafis will achieve their ultimate goal of implementing Islamic law. But Iskander Bouhanmi, a young Salafi cleric, says in Tunisia, the Salafis are different. They don't believe democracy is the path to God's law. Bouhanmi accuses the Tunisian government and the media of demonizing Salafis, painting them all as violent militants. Their only crime, he says, is preaching Salafi doctrine. But when they try to spread their message about God's law, he says, they are stopped and they are persecuted. Leila Fadel, NPR News.